Okay, welcome to this first session. We'll start right away since we're 5 minutes late already. Let me introduce Ordula Vincent and Ivy Doak. I'm talking about the about the Coeur d'Alene Online Language Resource Center.
Ah, you stop. Can you all hear me? Is it on?
I think it's not switched on.
Hold on.
Hello? I'm not. That's really loud. Ah, he's Lafa, Adra, where he's squeezed. Chintel, little wheat loose, where Idaho. Cheats, pay e, to go out, cheats and tweet. Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here. I'm from the Coeur d'Alene Tribe in Idaho. I'm also a linguistic student at UBC. And today we're going to talk to you about the Coeur d'Alene Online Language Resource Center, and we're going to kind of give you a tour of the site and what's on it and what it is. So our project members are Shannon Bischoff, who couldn't be here with us today. We have Amy Fountain, who's right over here. Myself, Audra Vincent, from the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. We have Ivy Doak right here, and John Evans also. So what I first want to do is introduce you to the language. The Coeur d'Alene language is a Southern Interior Salish language. It's spoken in Northern Idaho. The language is severely endangered. There are currently only 2 fluent speakers. The Coeur d'Alene language program works on revitalizing the language. They teach grades K through 8, and they also teach many community classes and after school program classes, and there's also a college level class. The 2 fluent speakers meet weekly to document the language and they do video and audio recording, so there's documentation going on with the speakers. Just so you know, here's a map of the Salish languages in the area of Coeur d'Alene's in the Idaho area by Washington and Montana. And I wanted to kind of show you a little bit about the speakers. This is Felix Arepa. He's in his 80s. He does a lot of work with documenting, and he does a lot of trips into the area to teach about the land and the place names and everything. He does a lot of work for the language and the culture. And our other speaker is Irene Lally. She's 94, and she works a lot with the Felix and helps document the language weekly also.
Do you want to bring it up?
Yeah.
Yes. This project started, a lot of us have been looking at the language for years, and Ray Brinkman is the white man in the corner, the linguist at the tribal language program, and he and Shannon Bischoff, who's the fellow who's not here, got together and decided that they wanted to have a resource for everyone to use all the existing material that's available on Coeur d'Alene and make it easily accessible to everyone. And so Bischoff and his undergraduate student at Puerto Rico in 2009 got together with little experience and put together over the summer a basic form of this website that we've been working on since then. And the NSF is funding the expansion that we're working on now. Basically, as I've said, the mission is to have a digital Coeur d'Alene language resource center so that the Coeur d'Alene community and other researchers on the language can have available materials at their fingertips. We'll give you a tour of the site today, and Amy and John's joined Amy down here in the front now, are going to give an electronic poster tomorrow at in session 4 at 11:45. So come and see them, and they'll tell you all the background stuff and all the technical details of the site. The site has 2 basic portions. You can see the index on the left-hand side here talks about an archive and a web area. And the archive includes guidelines to the orthographies, published materials, Reichard's unpublished tales in Coeur d'Alene and some audio files and a bibliography. And the web area includes the Coeur d'Alene homepage, some work that I've done, a grammatical sketch, and some materials I've done with Gladys Reichard's tales, and then some of the original works, original publications by Tate and Reichard. And what we're going to do now is look at the archive portion. I'll lead you through a few of those pieces, and then Audra will tell you about some others, and I'll come back and tell you about some more. Can you bring up the original archive? This is what the original archive started out looking like. This is what Shannon and Musaf put together years ago. And what it's changed its look. You want to come back to the regular page? Okay. And we have our mission statement is here. And this goes into a lot of detail about what the site wants to do, how we're doing it, and how we're trying to keep it in line with best practices now for digital resources. And we've used Chang's TAPS outline for a checklist for responsible archiving of digital language resources. And I think there'll be more detail on that with Amy's work. One of the big problems with working with the Coeur d'Alene language is that it's been written in several different systems. The original field work done by Gladys Reichard was done in a Boasian tradition of pretty close phonemic transcription. Thanks. And what we have in Lawrence Nicodemus was one of Gladys Reichard's assistants and students and informants. His mother and grandmother worked with Gladys Reichard, and he was a young boy when she was interviewing his relatives. And so he became very interested in the language and learned quite a bit about it. And when, I guess it was in 1975, he published a dictionary of the language. And he had devised an orthography that was based on the ability to type the language on a typewriter. That was when typewriters were the mode of sharing information. So he's changed the writing system. Reichard didn't recognize some relationships between sounds that we recognize now. And Nicodemus tried to make it simple to convey the information. And then since then, Salishinists have gone in and tried to present the data in something that can be shared by linguists around the world. And so we have these varying systems, and one of the main goals of this is to make the three systems available to everyone, so that if you see something in Nicodemus, you can find out what it really sounds like when it's spoken, and you can relate the old forms to the modern forms. And so if you look at something like Reichard's first two symbols up there, the subdotted R's with the raised W's, those are, you know, labialized pharyngeals, one's glottalized and one's not. Nicodemus used parentheses for ease of typing, and that's okay, that works for some things, but if you slide down the page a little bit, if we get down to, say, the vowels, you'll notice here, when Reichard's list, we have a small cap E, a small iota subdotted U, and these all refer to variations of schwa that are basically predictable, and we don't have to use that much information because we know that, you know, in a high front environment, you're going to get the iota. But what Nicodemus has done is just completely eliminated schwa because he didn't have a character for it on the typewriter, and I'm guessing. And so what we find is that Nicodemus's writing system is incomplete, and we can't go from his transcription or his spellings to a phonologically accurate description of a word. So having the other forms and having them indexed one to another makes the language more accessible. Another event, I told you that Nicodemus produced a dictionary in 1975. Well, more recently, I don't remember the year, John Lyon and Rebecca Greenwood, who were students of Anthony Mateena at the University of Montana, as were Shannon Bishop and myself at one time or another. And he introduced us all to the language through Reichard's transcripts of the 50 or 52 texts that she collected in 1927 and 29. But what Lyon and Greenwood did as their master's thesis was take Nicodemus's dictionary and retranscribe it and do some reanalysis of some of the, well, actually, I don't think Nicodemus did much analysis at all, but Lyon and Greenwood gave us some analysis, a retranscription that's more in line with the phonetic transcription, even though you can see that they've omitted inserting anything that Nicodemus didn't include. So initial glottal stops don't show up, even though they are there in the language. They were not in Nicodemus's transcription, so they didn't include them in their revision of his dictionary. But they've made it more accessible, and we've provided that here. I think Shannon and his student at Puerto Rico typed this all in, or somehow moved it from their files onto our site here. There are problems with this. There's some analysis that isn't in keeping with things that we see in Reichard or in other analytical work that's been done in between, but it's a really good starting place. Now I'm gonna hand this over to Audra, who's gonna tell you about the stem list, more about the orthography and the texts.
Okay, so the archive also includes the stem list, which was developed by Gladys Reichard and first published in 1939. And it's available in different forms. You can browse it and you can search the stem list. And let me see. Also, we have the affix list that goes with the stem list also. So there are nearly 200 affixes included in Reichard's grammar in 1938. And you can search through this and go through this and look for the different types of affixes that Coeur d'Alene has. And I think next we're going to show you the texts. And these were gathered by Gladys Reichard also. They're like Coeur d'Alene myths and tales. They're gathered in 1927 and 1929. There are also texts gathered by James Tay also in 1917. And we go down. So if you can see below, they have the different myths in Coeur d'Alene in different forms. They have the type manuscript, which is what Reichard originally wrote down.
This one?
Yeah. And
I'm not used to this.
Oh, I'm not either. I kept messing it up. But this is
so that's the title page.
One of the tales. It's Chief Child of the Root. So as you can see, it's in the Reichard orthography, and it has the English translation, but you can also, Ivy will talk more about it later, but she also has a website that has it in the other orthography. And we have the metadata also with the type, with the all the different tales also, that shows all the information about it, all the background information about it, and who gathered it, who was speaking, and all that. And then we also have the English translation for each of the tales on here.
Yeah, these were published quite a bit later, and they're not line by line consistent with the originals, but they tell the story, which is good.
And
there's some of the stories also have her field notes.
Oh yeah,
and you can see some of those also. So these are her actual handwritten field notes that she transcribed into the typed manuscripts that we saw. And you can view these in all sorts of ways on the site. You can look at them side by side, stacked on top of each other to compare them. It's an interesting layout.
And next we're gonna do the audio, right?
Oh yeah, where's an audio one?
So some of these stories also have audio with them.
Sorry.
If you could find one.
Oh, is there an index? Is that?
Oh yeah, I think there's a separate tab. There.
Sorry. Okay, this is a little bit of Little Mosquito. I think.
Yeah. Indiana University Archives of Traditional Music, accession number 85-550-F. Idaho, Kerr Dahlin, Gladys Reichard, circa 1935. EC 10-inch 4200, a copy of OT 7399, OT 7400, 12-4857, and 10-19725.
And all this is available in the metadata that's associated with this, so you can find it.
Number 3, Coeur d'Alene 1.
Finch Achel, et Chitip, or good sea, she says. We have to start some finches to move to the SS.
This is. I believe that's Lawrence Nicodemus reading the manuscripts. So that's available for just a few of the texts. There's not too many that were recorded, but it's nice that we have them here and available to listen to.
Should I do the bibliography in Coeur d'Alene?
Sure.
And also we have a bibliography on the site that has a bunch of all the different works on Coeur d'Alene at different linguistic studies and all kinds of different things, so that's available for people who want to know more. And
yeah, there was one thing when we were talking about the stem list. There's also I thought there was. Isn't there a link to her article?
On the affix list.
Oh, on the affix list? Oh, okay, sorry.
Like where it says page 599.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. So this refers to Reichard's grammar, actually. There had been a link to the stem list itself, mm-hmm. and I think that might have gotten moved to a different page. Maybe on the one with comments. Nope, it's not there. But there's lots of links, okay, that you can find most of the information that's been published. What I've put together a grammatical sketch of the language, and I've also worked on some of Reichard's texts and done a morphological analysis. And Audra's showing you here the sketch. If you, it may be off. What I've tried to do is the same aim that we have with this site, was to give all three orthographies for the texts. And I've worked through quite a few of them, and what you can find is a transcription in, this is the Nicodemus orthography, and the material on the right-hand side is what Reichert had typed underneath her transcription of the stories. And you can look at it in phonetic transcription, mm-hmm. and you can look at it in the facsimile of her transcription. And when you're looking at it in the phonetic or in Nicodemus's transcription, I'm not sure if this is going to work here. If you have the setup right, it will connect you to my dictionary and will give you analysis of each form. And this is something we haven't tried it on this machine before. But each word you click on, you'll get the dictionary entry to pop up. The other two things that can we show them the last two things? You've seen a glimpse of, if you show them just tapes, stuff. You've seen examples of Reichert's grammar and her published texts, and we also have links to what James Tate had recorded in 1919, I believe. He did some field work on the language too, so there's links to that. So we're trying to put everything available on there in the best possible form with any information you need to find the resources, and with making it as easy as possible for anyone who wants to learn the language or study Coeur d'Alene linguistics can see. Anything you want to add?
I don't think so. Out of time. Thank you.
I'm wondering, with the multiple orthographies, did you multiply type them, or were you able to just generate them automatically?
Some of them I retyped, and some of them I had help with. Timothy Montler has a program for me we can't go from the Nicodemus transcription to phonetic transcription, but we can pretty much go the other way. There's still things that are problems.
The reason I ask that is that, you know, I dealt with that problem also, and the bigger your corpus gets, the more of a nuisance it is ultimately it's impossible to maintain accuracy across multiple.
Yeah, and every time
of the same text.
Every time you look at it and you know, you find another problem. And it's a problem. But it just takes a lot of work. Yes.
Sorry, I might have missed this because I kind of just at the beginning. But across all your documents that are the facsimiles, etc., have you arranged a way in which you could somehow do relational searching through those things? Or are they simply PDFs or whatever?
At this point, I think they're just... Do you guys want to address that?
Yeah.
John and Amy are part of this project.
And you see that our search functionality is under revision because we would like to do that. So some of the materials on the site that you saw are image files and currently not searchable in any way other than via their metadata. But a lot of the files, the stem list, the affix list, and the root dictionary are flat XML. And so we ought to be able to get some fairly powerful searching that can go back and forth among each of those. The goal would ultimately be to have a search that can even reach into, you saw the published material that's being pulled into this display from Internet Archive, to be able to crawl through to their search as well and capitalize on both. That's something that we're working on.
There's another question over here.
I have an information architecture question. Are you using a CMS to do this, home build, Drupal, WordPress?
Home build.
And are your data stores like centralized? I mean, obviously the Internet Archive, they're in their data stores, but are your Are you working with a repository from your home institution, or you got an FTP server that you're running off of? Or?
So we have server space for the time being that's kindly donated by an institution where Shannon originally set up the site. We are building the site so that all of the native materials on the site fit on a thumb drive.
Okay.
We use PHP, which has to be run off a server, but otherwise, and the search functionality will utilize that too. Otherwise, all the materials can be run off a thumb drive, and we have a accession plan to keep that material multiply backed up in multiple locations and eventually contribute it to the tribal technology infrastructure. So it's pretty low overlap at this point.
That's good, thanks.
Yeah, she'll have more information at the electronic poster tomorrow too. Pat?
I have a Salish morphophonemic question, and I'm just wondering in terms of your coding, how you dealt with establishing relationships between forms which are basically the same root, for example, but one has the schwa and the other has dropped the schwa once a particular affix has been added on, or things like that. Is there a way of establishing the relationships between those terms, and how did you do that, or how do you envisage doing that?
That's a really good question, because, you know, the way I've done it, you know, I've done a standard Salish analysis, so I have markers for these. But the revision of the dictionary that Lyon and Greenwood did have don't use the markers in the same way. And so, what will have to be done at some time if we want them to be related to each other, we're going to have to come up with a set of symbols that we're going to use and make sure that they're. That there's justification for where the markers are placed and what they mean. And that's a big problem in comparing them. And at this point, we don't have any. It's a lot of work.
Thank you.
Andrew.
I guess that has a related question. Do you really think that the Nicodemus omission of schwa is for typographical reasons, or does it actually reflect the native speaker intuition that those are epenthetic?
They are epenthetic, but he types them in. What he uses is a U for an in a labial environment. Sometimes he doesn't mark it at all, except to he does mark stress by underlining, and so he will underline a resonant. So you'll have an M, which is probably the schwa M, and so. He's very, very inconsistent about what he does, and I would like to leave schwas out altogether, but they're epenthetic or excrescent, and they really do make a difference in pronunciation. People put them in different places, females different from males, but it's tough to look at his stuff, especially if you're looking, Coeur d'Alene has language as a vowel harmony, and so if you see his oohs in there for schwas, it makes it very difficult to see what's going on.
You mentioned that the last speakers that you're working with, that they're being recorded and that they're working every week. Is that the stuff that they are working on, is that something, and their recordings, is that something that you plan on putting up in this research center as well?
It would be really wonderful.
Yeah,
if we could.
I'd love to do that.
There seems to be the language project, a language program, I guess, they call it on, has been working, and they have incredible archives. Kim Matheson has been working with the speakers since way back before Lawrence Nicodemus died in 92, I think, when he died, quite a few years ago. But he was being recorded also, and some of the other speakers who have passed away. And she's got this huge archive of stuff, but we don't seem to, at this point, have any plans for incorporating their material. I don't know.
We should.
Yeah,
we should have plans. There's like over 10 years of recordings every week of different speakers, so there's a lot of data there that can be used.
Okay, just like, you know, speakers.